Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, I love that. We are lively, aren't we? Amen. Amen. We are alive. Amen. Can you imagine how many people would love to be where we are today? There are some who got up this morning, they've been rushed to the hospital. There are some last night, sadly, who passed away. We are alive. You know what? We have feet and we can walk. We have hands and they can move. We have mouth and we can speak. We have eyes and we can see. You know, some of those things, we take them for granted. And we can't even thank God enough for them. Wait until you're sick. And then you begin to thank God for your health when you're healthy. And you say, Father, thank you, I'm healthy. Look for someone who cannot hear. And then you will see how important for you to have your ears and you can hear. Come across a blind person who cannot see. And then you will see how important it is for you to have your eyes. And you can appreciate God and say, Father, thank you for my eyes. Amen. I know sometimes things are not working in our life the way we want them to work. You know, we're going through trials, we're going through challenges. And it's true, it's common to everyone. And we are thinking, I'll wait until everything is okay before I praise God, before I worship God. I want you to just know this. There will never be a day where everything will be okay. There will always be something wrong. So if we are waiting for that day to praise God, then we'll never praise God. Amen? So can we praise the Lord this morning? Praise the Lord! God is good. And all the time. Amen. Our God is good. So I just want you to turn to the person next to you. I want you to stand up, move around, greet someone, and tell the person, God bless you. I love you with the love of the Lord. Yeah, move around. God bless you. I love you with the love of the Lord. Amen. Our God is good. Emma, you're looking at me smiling and thinking, oh. Amen. God bless you, Patsy. Amen. 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 God is good. He is a faithful God. He is a loving God. He is a caring God. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. There is none like you. There is none like you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Can we have our seat, please? Thank you. Amen. How does it feel like receiving a hug from someone, your brother, your sister? It feels good, right? It tells us that we are a family in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And we are there for one another as a family. We share the love of Christ. And the Bible says Christ mourn with those who mourn and then laugh with, celebrate with those who celebrate. Amen. So we are here this morning to celebrate our God. Celebrate Jesus. Amen. What he did on the cross for us. We can never be thankful enough. Hallelujah. And the only thing we can do is, you know, dedicate our life to him. Surrender to him. Because, you know, what can we give him? Everything we have, he gave it to us. The only thing that he cannot take away, he cannot take from us by force, is our will. Surrender our life to him willfully and say, Lord, here I am. I give you my life. have your way in me. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we just bless and exalt your holy name this morning. Lord, we thank you that you've started with us already. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is already here. Father, we could feel your presence even through the worship, Father. Lord, we thank you that you have something special for us this morning. And Lord, we just surrender to you, O God. We ask you that you continue to have your way. Father, I'm just a vessel, Lord. And I ask you to use me, Father. Speak through me, O God. Father, you know what your people need. You know what we all need, Father. Speak to us individually through the word that is going to comfort, Father. Let it be a word of comfort. Let it be a word of challenge. Let it be a word, Father God, that is going to stir us up, Father, to even seek to do more for you and for your kingdom. We rebuke, come against every spirit of distraction in this place in the name of Jesus. Every spirit that comes in to steal the word from your people, we come against that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father, we ask you that as we listen to your word, Lord, we're not going to be hearers of your word only, but we're also going to be doers of your word, because that's when we get blessed. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going through the book of Luke. Actually, Pastor Rob was the one who was meant to preach today, but he is somewhere ministering for the Lord, I think in Preston. And so I'm doing it. And he will be preaching at Bring tonight. And I heard Olivia said something that you should bring. What is that? Oh, he's wearing 139. Oh, whoa. I can't wait to see that, how it looks like. Yeah. And when I was going through Luke chapter 10, it's very interesting. There are so many things in that chapter. And I was just asking the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to focus on? Because if it was me, I would have looked at maybe the Samaritan, the story of the Good Samaritan, or I would have looked at maybe Mary and Martha. But the Holy Spirit took me somewhere else to focus on preaching the word of God. Focus on sharing the gospel with other people. And it's something that is really important, and I think it is a matter of urgency that we share the word of God with other people. Amen. So we're going to read as from Luke chapter 10. And if you're there, do you want to follow me through your Bible, maybe on your phones or hardcover? Let's go. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way, behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such thing as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such thing as I said before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.'" Amen. I'll stop there for now. You know, the opening verse, it says, after this thing, the Lord appointed 70 others. When you read in chapter 9, prior to chapter 10, the Lord sent out the 12 disciples, and he sent them to go out and preach the gospel, to go out and share the good news. But then when he sent the 12, he sent them to the Jew. So he said, go and preach to the Jew only. Now, yeah, it is amazing here. He sent out 70 others. And this time he's not sending them to the Jew. He's sending them to everyone. Amen? So what that tells us is that The gospel is for everyone. The gospel was not just for the Jew, it was for the Gentile as well. It's because they went to the Gentile that today you and myself, we are saved. Amen. It is a good thing that we are saved. It is a good thing that we know Jesus Christ. It is a good thing that we know, we have that assurance that if we die, we are going to heaven. But the question is, what about others? What about others? What about the people in your family who do not know the Lord? What about the next door neighbor? What about the people in the community? What about the people in this city? What about the people in England? And what about the people in the world? Every day people are perishing. People are dying without knowing God. And do you know where they are going to? Do we know where they are going to? To hell. You know, sometimes we think hell is a myth, but it's not. It is a reality. If people are not going to heaven, they are going to hell. And you know, sometimes we think, I'm okay, yes, I'm fine. But we're not fine as long as other people are perishing. We are not fine as long as people in our family have not heard about the gospel. We are not fine as long as people in our community have not heard about the gospel. It is paramount that we preach the word of God. It is. You know, each time we say, Jesus is coming soon, Jesus is coming soon. But the Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, it says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached all over the world, and then the end shall come. And you know why the end is not there yet? Because the gospel hasn't been preached all over the world. It hasn't. And it is interesting what Jesus says here. He says the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. There are people out there who are already ready. But he says the laborers are few. The laborers are few. And he says something interesting. He said, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers. Now, he's not saying that pray that the Lord of the harvest will raise laborers. Why? Because the laborers are already there. Pray that he will send laborers. We are already here. Why are we not going? Why? Most of us are happy in our comfort zone. I don't want to speak to that neighbor. You know the way they look at me? They just behave funny. I don't want to speak to them. He says, pray. What are we doing? Are we praying? No, I don't want to spend that time, you know, on my knees praying. It's so demanding. I've got other things to do. Are those things more important than what the Lord has asked us to do? Where is our priority? Where is our priority? If that family member of yours dies without knowing Christ and you know they are going to hell, how do you feel about that? Maybe for some of us, we've never even asked ourselves that question. You know, we're just living our life and we don't really care. And I believe that today the Lord is speaking to you and speaking to me. That it's time for us to focus on others. It's time for us to get out of our comfort zone. It's time for us to get out of our selfish life, where it's about me, myself, and I, and think about others. Amen? It's time for us to go out there. It's good we come to church, we sing, we praise God, and we do all the things that we do. But the truth is that if that's all it is all about, then we're not doing anything at all. Because it's about reaching out for lost souls. The very essence for which Jesus came, it was because he wanted to save us, to reconcile us to God. Amen? And the Bible says that he has given us that ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. So you and I are supposed to reconcile the world to him. Amen. We're supposed to take that gospel to people and tell them about Jesus and reconcile them to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is good. And all the time. You know, he said in verse 9, he asked them to go out and he said something. He said, heal the sick there. I underlined that, but before then, he even said, and greet no one along the road. You know, when you send someone, I remember when I was little, when my mom sent me, she used to do something, it's very funny. It's when I grew up, I was thinking, what was that? You know, sometimes she would spit on the floor, it's funny. And she would be like, I'm sending you, before this spit dries, I want to see you back. And you know what that means? It meant to me it was urgent. So I was just going and running because even I see friends who are playing. Ella, do you want to play? No. I'm running because I'm thinking, oh, by the time I get back, I want that spirit to still be fresh there. Funny. But the Lord is saying to them, go. He said, speak to no one along the way. It's to tell you how urgent it is. You don't have time to mess about. You don't have time to talk to people. Focus on what I'm asking you to do. Go. Don't waste time talking to people. Don't waste time with distraction around. And I'll be honest with you, there are a lot of distraction nowadays. If we are not careful, there are so many things that takes up our time. And you know, you start up in the morning, when you end up the day, you think, what have I been doing? So many distractions. We have to be focused. We have to look at our priorities and stay focused. Amen. And you know, Jesus said, he said to them, heal the sick. Heal the sick. And today we have so many sick people around. And I'm not just talking about physical ailment. I'm talking about people who are sick, emotionally sick. You have people out there full of depression. You have people out there dealing with all sorts. And Jesus sent them, he said, go, heal the sick. Brother, sister, we've got power. We've got power in us. Hallelujah. We've got what it takes for the world to be changed. I don't know whether you believe it, but the Bible says it. You've got it. And I just want us to carry on reading as from verse 17. It says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. I love that verse. You know, the 70 came back. They were very excited. Wow, they've been out. You know, they laid hand on the sick and the sick were well recovered. Probably they prayed for the blind. The blind started seeing. And then demons were subject to them. That's exciting. I don't know if it has ever happened to you. But when it happened to you, you are excited. When you pray for someone and they get healed, you're thinking, wow, how did that happen? You're so excited. When you cast out a demon out of someone in the name of Jesus and you see them suddenly free, you're like, wow, you get excited. So I can see their excitement when they came back and say, Lord, do you know what? Even the demon are subject to us in your name. Amen. I just want to tell us that there is power in the name of Jesus. You know, they went out, they casted out demons, they did great things, but it wasn't by their own power. It was in the name of Jesus. Amen. There is power in the name of Jesus. If we want to go out there and do things for the Lord, we need to understand the power that we have in the name of Jesus. That when we go out there and we use the name of Jesus, great things are going to happen. Amen? Amen. You know, in the book of Philippians 2, I think verse 9, it says that God highly exalted him, Jesus. He said he gave him the name above every other name. That at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee bow. Amen. So when we know the power that we have in the name of Jesus, when we pray, we are expecting things to happen. Not because of us, but because of that name. You know, Jesus said to them, he said, I've given you authority. I've given you power to tread, to trample on serpents and scorpions and every power of the enemy. And he said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing. And I was looking at it and said, why did he mention serpents and scorpions? Why? Because those are dangerous animals. I don't know, for us who are from Africa, you know, sometimes when I see people here, they have pets, snake pets, I'm thinking, ha, ha, ha. They've not really come across snakes. If they had, they would not have snake pets. Because you know what? When we used to grow, we were growing up. I mean, you'll be walking like that, then you see a snake. Whoa! You run. Why? Because you know it's dangerous. It's dangerous. Some of them, just after a few minutes of a bite, you're dead. You look at scorpion, just a stink from a scorpion, you're dead. So they're not animals that you play with. But Jesus is saying, I've given you authority. I've given you power to tread on them, to walk on them. Whoa. And what does it mean, serpent? What does it mean, scorpion? It just means the challenges of life. It means the challenges that we can go through. It means all the things that we can face in life. Jesus said, I've given you the power to tread on them. So I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what you're facing today. Whether it's your marriage that is falling apart, whether you're having challenges with your children, whether it is your health, but I want you to know that you have the power. You have the power to fix it. You have the power to do something about it. It's okay to mourn sometimes. It's okay to cry. But you know what? I want you this morning to rise up with the power and authority that you have in the name of Jesus and say, enough of this. I've had enough of this situation in my life. I've had enough of my marriage being the way it is. I've had enough of this health problem. I've had enough of my child being the way he is. I've got power. I've got authority to change this. And this is going to change in Jesus' name. Amen. So he has given us authority. You know, we need to use that authority to change things in our lives. Why? Because if nothing has changed in your life, what kind of gospel do you want to go and preach outside? Right? Well, if I look at you, everything in your life is the same. And you come to me, you say, you know what? Well, Jesus is the solution to your problem. What's the question I'm going to ask you? Why is your own life like that? If it is the solution, why is your life still the way it is? If it's not working for you, there is no way you export it outside, right? It needs to start from us. So what I'm saying this morning is that if there are areas in your life that are not allowed, that are not aligned with the plans and purpose of God for your life, it's time for you to rise up and say, I want to see this in my life. Because the Bible says, the plans that I have for you are plans of good and not evil to give you hope and an expected end. Amen. So if in your life you're not seeing those plans coming into manifestation, you know the fault is not God's. It's definitely you. There is probably something that you're not doing right. So it's time to rise up and say, Father, search me. What is it that I'm not doing right? Why is it that I'm not seeing this thing fulfilled in my life? There must be something that I need to do, and I want to do it because I want to see your promises manifest in my life. I want to be able to take the gospel out there. When I tell someone that, you know what, Jesus heals, I should be able to give them a testimony to say, you know what, once I was sick and he healed me from this disease. Jesus saved. I want to be able to tell them that he saved me from this or that. Amen. We have power. We have authority. In the book of Acts chapter 4, you had this guy who was placed in front of the gate called Beautiful. I mean, he was impotent, and he sat there. People were going into the temple, going there worshiping God, all excited, and he sat there begging for alms. And that's what he did. Every day, people would take him, place him in front of the gate. His life was really sad. So his life was like depending on other people. So he would sit there, wait, begging for alms. And this particular day, you had Peter and John who were going to the temple. And they stopped by. When he saw them, you know what he expected? He expected to receive some alms. But Peter and John look at him. And Peter said, look at us. Look. And he said to him, silver and gold have I not. And to be honest, it was like, even if I have silver and gold, that's not what you need. If I give you silver, if I give you gold, I mean, you've been receiving coins and you keep coming here. It means that's not what you need. And Peter was saying, I have something better for you. Amen. He said, such that I have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Do you know what happened? The Bible says that this guy leaped. He leaped. And the next thing was, he went into the temple. So that meant why he sat there, he was watching. He wanted to go into the temple, but he couldn't. Such as I have, in the name of Jesus. Do we all have the name of Jesus here? Do we all have the name of Jesus? Can we all use the name of Jesus? Okay. So we need to use the name of Jesus. Not just using it like, you know, but knowing the power that is behind the name. That when we call that name of Jesus, there is power behind the name. Hallelujah. Our God is good. Amen. All the time, God is good. And I'm sure you are here this morning, you're thinking, what is it about preaching the gospel? Look at my life, the way my life is. Things are not working for me. Why should I go out there and tell someone about Jesus when my own life is a mess? I just want to tell you that there is hope. There is hope, amen? There is hope in Jesus. There is hope if you can just, you know, come to him with expectancy and knowing that he's able to turn your situation around, he will do it. The Bible says, he says, I am the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Nothing is too hard for him. He said, I will do exceedingly abundantly above what you can ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. Amen. So he's able to do above what you think, above what you ask, if you can trust him and believe in him. Amen. I want to look at two examples in the Bible, because our main focus today is about taking the word of God out there. It's about telling others about Christ. And again, as I said, if our lives does not really reflect the glory of God, we might not want to go out there and preach the gospel. So we have first to, you know, pray, sit back and ask God to transform our lives. Then we can go out there and reflect his glory to others. Amen? Now, I want to look at the life of two people in the Bible that really challenged me when I was going through it. It's Nehemiah and Esther. Amen. If you don't mind, would you like to go to the book of Nehemiah chapter 1, please? It came to pass in the month of Chiflet, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jew who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The walls of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard those words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I fasted, I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. I'll just stop from there. The other verses tells us how he prayed, he interceded, he called upon God. Now, this is Nehemiah. He was the cupbearer to the king. So, to be honest with you, he was okay. He was doing well. Yes, they were in captivity in another country. But he was doing fine. But when these people came with the news from his homeland, telling him how devastated the land was, how the people were living in great distress, you saw what he did, the Bible says. He said he wept. He wept. He said he fasted and he prayed. To be honest with you, he could have said, it's not my problem. You know what? I'm fine here. I am the cupbearer to the king. My life is okay. But he thought of those people. And he thought, they are my brethren. I can't be here. I'm fine. Why things are not working for my brethren back in my homeland? I can't be here. I'm okay. Why they are suffering? I can't be here. I'm okay. Why the walls of Jerusalem are falling? They are burned down. I need to do something about it. And you know, it all started with prayers. He went to the Lord. He wept. He fasted. He prayed. He cried out to the Lord. We're living in a country, I would use the word, I don't want to say sick, but it's broken. Look at what is happening around us. You know, I was watching the news. I don't know whether it was last night. The mayor of London was talking. It was about one other teenager that was stabbed. And it's been happening on and on. You know, we can't just sit back here and say, okay, that's happening in London. We are in Hindley, we are in Wigan, we are in Lee. That doesn't really concern me. And he used a word, he said, if not of the grace of God, it can happen to any one of us. Do you sometimes travel to London? I guess, maybe yes. It can happen to you. It can happen to myself. What are we doing about this? What? Even around us here, there are lots of things going on. Youth lives are being destroyed. People are living in bondage. What are we doing about that? The Bible says that Nehemiah cried. He wept. He wept. Sometimes when I'm sharing with some ladies, I say, you know what? We might be thinking our children are safe. I say, it's a lie. We're praying, it's the grace of God. You know what? But if those children out there, lives are not transformed, our children are still at risk. They are still at risk. When they go to school, they mingle, they mix up with other children. If their lives are not transformed, somehow they can influence our children. What are we doing about that? I believe it's time for us to get out of our comfort zone. Nehemiah had everything, but he decided, no, I'm not going to stay back and see the people destroyed. I need to do something about it. And if you read down, he went to the king. And the king gave him permission to go to his country. Not just permission, but gave him everything that he needed to go back to Jerusalem and build the wall. He did something about it. Sympathizing alone is not enough. When we look at it, we talk about it, you know, yes, it's true. Oh, you know, the way things are going. We watch the news, we look at politics, and we say, oh, no, things are really bad. Yeah, we talk about them, but what do we do? What do we do about it? We need to get to the place where we take action. If you can pray, pray. Pray. Take a few, I don't know, 30 minutes. You know, pray. If you can fast, maybe skipping just a meal. Do it and pray. We can do something. Each and every one of us can do something about the situation going on in our neighborhood, in our country, whatever it is, in our families even. Amen. It's time for us to rise up. Amen. I also look at the example of Esther. We're not going to read because of time. Esther was a queen. You know what it is? She had the privileges of having everything that she wanted at her disposal. She was there as a queen, enjoying all the privileges that comes with her position. But something happened one day. You know, one of the kings, prime minister, he was called Haman, just decided for some personal reason to destroy the Jew. And Esther's cousin, who brought her up, called Mordecai, sent news to Esther and said, Esther, you need to do something about this situation. The Jews are going to be destroyed and you are in a position where you can do something. You know what Esther did? When she sent news to Mordecai and said, you know what? I can't go to the king. I can't go and speak to the king because there is a law. If you go to the king without being called, and if he doesn't point out his royal scepter to you, you're going to be killed. It was like to say, Mordecai, you know what? I don't want to die. My life is precious to me, you know. Well, and Mordecai sent news to her. And I just like the quote in Esther chapter 4, verse 14, where Mordecai said to Esther, who knows if you have come to the throne for such a time as this? Who knows? And I believe that those words did something in Esther. Reminded Esther, you know what? You're not just there to enjoy all the privileges that come with your position. God certainly put you here for a purpose. And you have to accomplish the purpose for which you were brought there. And I love what she said. She said, go and tell Mordecai, ask the Jew to fast 3 days and 3 nights without food, without drinking. I will fast as well. And I will go to the king. And she said, I perish, I perish. I will go to the king, although it's against the law, but I will take that risk. Why? Because I want these people to be saved. I don't want the Jew to be destroyed. I'm going to take the risk. I'm going to go to the king. I perish, I perish. How many of us can say that today? How many of us? I mean, God is not even asking us to take that kind of risk. He's saying, rise up. Get out of your comfort zone. If you can pray, pray. Do something about what is going on. Do something. I remember one of the songs, I think maybe the very first one or second one. He said, Jesus is the hope. Right? Jesus is the hope of the world. Jesus himself cannot come and do the work. You and I are the people who are supposed to do the work. Are we willing to do it? Are we willing to do it? Are we willing to inconvenience ourselves? Are we willing to skip some meals if we can to pray? Are we willing to wake up at nighttime and say, I want to pray. I want to intercede. I want to pray for these youths here. I want God to use them to affect the world, to touch their generation. Are we willing to pray? Jim said something. He said, they gathered with the other churches. But he said they prayed, but he was dead. Why? Because not all of them are prayerful or know how to pray the way we pray. That is a challenge. That is a challenge, saying, Lord, I'm going to stand in the gap and pray that as we meet up with these people, Father, let your fire spread from me to them. By the time we finish, Lord, let their life be transformed, that they can carry that fire to their congregation. And that life will be touched and transformed. I believe that the Lord is challenging us today. In Luke 15, verse 7, it says, there is joy in heaven just for one soul that repents. One soul that comes to Christ, there is joy in heaven. Do you want to be the author of the joy in heaven? I want to. I want heaven to rejoice and say, oh, it's because of Ella that we're rejoicing. You see what she won, a soul. Do you want that? They are rejoicing and they're saying, the Lord is saying, look at my daughter Lucy. I'm rejoicing for what she's doing for my kingdom there. Look at my daughter. Look at Olivia, what she's doing with the youth. I'm proud. Look at that. It's time for us to rise up. The Lord is challenging us today. We need to get out of our comfort zone and step out. Reach out for the lost. Reach out for the lost in our family, in our community, in our city, in our countries. If you can pray, pray. Whatever you can do, to be able to do it, do it. And believe me, if we do it, not just we're going to see life change around us, but we're going to receive our reward from our Heavenly Father. Yes, amen. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word this morning. Father, we thank you for the challenge, oh God, that you are giving us today. Asking us, Father, to get out of our comfort zone, Lord. Asking us, Father, to reach out for the lost, Father, because we know that's the cry of your heart. Your word says that it's not your desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Use us, Father God, to reach out to our friends. In our places of work, Father, to speak to our colleague, our family members, Father, our neighbors, Father. Lord, I just pray this morning that you will put that compassion in us for the souls, Father. That some of us, Father, probably want to do it, but there is not that compassion in us. Lord, I ask you that you put that compassion in us, Father, that when we see people, Lord, we will think of where they are going to or where they will go to when they die. Lord, you don't want them to go to hell. And Father, we pray that you give us that mindset as well. And we just thank you, Father God. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We give you all the glory, Father, for what you've done today and what you keep on doing in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Morning. I've just got a little story I want to share. I was going to chicken out, but God's not letting this one go. So a couple of months ago, we went away at New Year. Me, Gab, Darcy, with a couple of our friends. Went away for a week in Wales. And one night when I was in bed, I don't know if I was awake or if I was dreaming. I just don't know. But I had these two images in my head. And I had big explanations about both of these images. Anyway, I thought to myself, when I get up in the morning, I'm going to write it all down so I'll remember it. Anyway, I got up and I didn't write it down. Other things got in the way and I did other things, so I didn't get to write it down. And then we was on our way home, driving back in car, and it come back in my mind again about these images and what had been explained to me. So again, I thought, as soon as I get home, I'm going to write it down. So I got home, didn't write it down. Other things got in my way. So this is like January, we're in March now. A few times it kept coming back to me, kept reminding me. Never wrote it down. Anyway, this week has been a really tough week. And on Monday, I think it was Monday, I had a bit of a meltdown. Things just got on top of me. I felt like the weight of the world was just on top of me and I just crumbled. But the 2 days before, I managed to write it down, what God had been telling me to write down all these weeks. I'd wrote it. And now I know why he was telling me. Because God knew I was going to have this meltdown. I didn't. He did. And he was telling me to write it for weeks. And I just kept putting one thing in front of the other, letting things go on and getting distracted. So I'm just going to read out now what he gave me. Because it was there when I needed it. So the images that he gave me. One was like a pole, like a fireman's pole, and the other was a ladder. And the explanations to these two things were laugh with God and laugh without God. And the pole is like living your life without God. And the ladder is living your life with God. So the explanation that I got was, living your life without God is like, it's like trying to climb up a pole. It's tough. It's tiring. You need to use all your strength just to hold on, never mind to move up. And when challenges come and we lose our grip a little bit, there's nothing to keep hold of. We slide all the way back down to the bottom. And then it takes all the strength that you've got just to get back to where you was. Never mind getting any further up. But life with God, it's like climbing up a ladder. Yeah, it still takes effort. We have to make effort. We still have to hold on. And we still have to put one foot in front of the other in order to move up. We've got to do that ourselves. But for every step that we take, God gives us another step to rest on. Because he is the step. Every step we take on the ladder, he is that next step. And he's there for us to rest and to wait until we're ready to move to the next one. And even though we do have to do our part, it's so much easier climbing a ladder than climbing a pole. When challenges come, instead of sliding all the way back down, we might just step back one or two steps. But God then provides that step for us to land on, to rest on, until we're ready to start moving up again. He doesn't let us slide all the way back down to the bottom. Life without God doesn't come without its challenges or its setbacks. But with God, we're stronger. And he's with us at every step, even when sometimes it doesn't feel like he is. Now, this week, when I had my meltdown, it did feel like God wasn't with me. And I felt like I had slid back down to the bottom. But because I had finally wrote this down, I was able to read it. And it reminded me that I hadn't fell back down to the bottom. I'd just gone down a couple of steps. And God's been telling me for months, write this down. And I didn't. But I did just in time. And I just wanted to share that with you, that's all.